Welcome to Truth Talk for Conscious Entrepreneurs. This is your host, Emma Churchman. Welcome to a limited series I've created titled Cleared for Profit, Heal Your Trauma to Grow Your Business, where I interview experts on how trauma informs your business.
In this episode, we have got Nicole Lewis-Kieber joining us. She's a licensed clinical social worker. She has combined her experience as a therapist and a mindset coach to assist entrepreneurs in revealing the blocks and blind spots in their business that have origins in their past experiences. And I'm really excited to be talking with Nicole today because she, like me, is a geek when it comes to talking about trauma and the effects on business. So we're just going to be geeking out a little bit today. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you for having me. I love that we can say out loud we're geeking out on trauma.
Yeah, yeah. I think the audience can handle it. All right, so let's begin with your definition of trauma.
Yeah, so there's all the clinical definitions. My definition of trauma is that there's many definitions of trauma, and that it's okay to identify with one and not the other or all of them. But the what it kind of boils down to me is that if you've had some kind of experience that was life-changing and that it took you off the path of who you were kind of ordained to be in this world, whether it was through, childhood abuse or a traumatic accident, something, really big and catastrophic that happened out of nowhere, an injury, or, those cumulative effects from that small-t trauma where maybe you had a caregiver who didn't believe in you and you dismissed your abilities every day, or you went to school every day and you had a learning disability and no one recognized it. So every day you're in this environment where you feel confused and less than. That is also trauma. So there's different types of trauma, and I think it's important for people to know that, because I am a firm believer that owning your trauma helps you heal your trauma. And a lot of people dismiss it and have minimized it and don't really own it.
Right, absolutely. Can you speak into what shifted for you in really wanting to focus on talking with entrepreneurs about trauma, about their trauma?
Oh, yeah. So I'll make it short as I can. So, we are interested in study what we're familiar with or what we want to understand, right? And so growing up, I had, it's common knowledge, and I speak about this a lot. So if anyone is prone to triggers around childhood abuse or anything like that, right now would be a good time to take care of yourself and just go tread lightly. But I grew up in a family where I was emotionally and physically abused by my mother almost every day. I have a history of sexual abuse as well. And so growing up, I always felt different, and I was always trying to find my place and understand where I belonged. And for some reason, I was the person everyone still came to with their problems and wanted them to help them. And so I ended up in this position of saying, okay, so this is what I'm really good at. I'm not good at a whole lot else, but I'm really good at helping people. So how can I turn that into a career? And that is when I went into social work and ended up being a therapist, for many years. And in my 18 years as a therapist, much of the people I worked with had some kind of trauma. Either they had a small T trauma, complex trauma, or big T trauma, or all of the above, And so I became really astute at this discerning the patterns of trauma and helping people identify them, reveal them, release them, and, getting agency back over their life. The thing I didn't know in those 18 years as a therapist was that I needed to make sure I was protecting my own emotions and then my own energy, and I wasn't doing that. So I was kind of wide open to all of it. And at about 18 years, I was absolutely burnt out. I was physically sick. I was emotionally depressed. And I left the field of social work and ended up working, just doing some kind of job behind the scenes, not working in direct practice. And after about 2 years of that, I worked with my own coach, life coach, and I really saw that there was a different way to work with people. And I got really excited about doing this work and entered into the coaching world doing money and mindset. And again, it became very clear to me very early on that we were not talking about money mindset. We were actually talking about the trauma's impact on money, trauma's impact on my clients' businesses and how they were doing business. And so I started to get curious and start peeling back the layers of the impact of trauma on my clients as an entrepreneur, as opposed to just focusing on the money. So that's a long story of how I got to this place.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I want to affirm and echo the connection, especially between money and trauma, because I'm also a money mindset coach. And there's so many interesting patterns that can show up for us, especially as we're growing our businesses and beginning to bring more money into our businesses. I'll often see clients who have some kind of history of trauma be able to make money but not hold on to it because it's not safe, or or they will start sabotaging themselves. As they're making money, they'll spend it just as quickly and won't hold on to it. And they'll think, like, they'll have logical, rational explications for why that happened. But really, from my experience, it is a trauma response. Does that make sense?
Oh, it absolutely does. You know, one of the things I say often is that your internal worth impacts your outer wealth. And when you've had trauma, your worthiness has been tested. And even if you've gone to therapy, you know, to work on that, no one expects their trauma to show up in their business, right? It's like this, you know, arena that you're just not expecting it. And so it can show up pretty quickly, you know, in your money and the way that you make decisions about how much you price, you know, your services for, or needing to be liked to feel safe and therefore undermining your financial bottom line. There is a lot that comes up around that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because I've also noticed with entrepreneurs, when they're not dealing with the underlying stuff, what happens is they'll get their business to a certain level and then have either a physical, often a physical, or an emotional breakdown, and will essentially have to rebuild their businesses because their businesses have been created in a way that manages their trauma response rather than heals it. Does that make sense?
It does. And I've seen that too. And I've also seen something else. But a lot of times when people come to work with me, they've been in a place where they've created this monster in their business. And they say they want to burn it down and just start over. And my caution to them always is, you know, but you're still going to bring you to the next business. So you need to figure out why this is not working for you. And sometimes the most healing thing you can do is make it do by healing yourself through your business with intention and understanding of what's happening. So I have seen that. And oh my goodness, you know, the physical response to launches. I mean, how many people have you seen who have gotten just absolutely so sick and have physically injured themselves during launches because they are so dramatic? So they're built to be dramatic and traumatic for some reason I do not understand.
Right. Exactly. That's a beautiful example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really interesting to see, you know, how they build something up that manages their anxiety and their stress and their traumatic responses. And the other thing that I've seen a lot of people do, and I kind of did this myself, it was my own aha moment one morning about a year and a half, 2 years in my own business, where I realized that I was abusing myself with my business. Because what happens with trauma patterns is that usually the person who's had trauma recreates their trauma, right? The abuser goes away or the circumstance resolves and they pick up the mantle and begin to abuse themselves through their choices or, you know, the partners they pick. And I realized that I was using this new, you know, shiny new business that I thought was going to be so amazing as a tool of self-abuse, and had no clue that I was doing that until I was ready to give in and quit And once I realized that, I was able to fix it. And then I began to see it with a lot of my clients as well, is that they were actually creating a perpetrator out of their business.
Yes, exactly. And the irony of that is that entrepreneurs in that situation, and I'm familiar with that because I was also there several years ago, is that even though it's not sustainable and causes physical or emotional or mental breakdown for entrepreneurs, it still feels safer because mm-hmm. those patterns are familiar. It feels unsafe to be in flow and ease and grace and abundance.
Right, because there must be something wrong, right? If that's happening, it doesn't feel, it's not comfortable. Chaos is comfortable. And so when things are going well, you know, it's that's when the self-sabotage happens because we're not, it doesn't feel like a baseline normal for us. And that makes sense.
Exactly, exactly. So are there any patterns that you've found with entrepreneurs that come from trauma that you could lift up for someone who's wondering if maybe they're having a trauma response in their business?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways that I approach this with people because everyone has their own level of understanding. And if you work in the world of the T word, like I do, a lot of people don't want you to use the word trauma. And honestly, I spent about 2 years or so, you know, doing this work and trying to call it everything else, and it just wasn't working for me. And so finally I said, screw y'all, I'm calling this thing a thing. It's trauma. And if people are curious about it and are not sure if they have trauma or not, they can talk to me. We'll, you know, we'll kind of address it and look underneath the hood, so to speak. But one of the approaches that I use and that I have found to be helpful around these patterns is I am a firm believer that when you start a business, that you enter into a relationship. And I have like this whole program and writing a book on this and everything, that we enter into a relationship. And if you don't set an intention with this relationship that you are possibly going to bring in those kind of toxic patterns and roles that you've had in relationships in your past into this business. And that, again, the business is going to end up being this mean, demanding, you know, boss, and you become this, you know, victimized employee in your own business. Like, you created this thing, you did this, but, you know, it's still kind of like a pattern. So one of the processes I take people through is I ask them, like, okay, so think about your business. Think about your business as an entity that was a person or a thing. What is it? What does it feel like? What are the characteristics of it? How are you relating to it? So all this line of questioning to kind of figure out who their business is currently and where they've seen that before, because it's all about pattern recognition and disruption, right? So if we can help them notice your business, like if you could put a personality or an entity or a person or a celebrity or an animal or something in the place of your business right now, what would it be? And would it feel safe and in support of your vision and mission for your business? And what is your role in that relationship? It's kind of how I would distill it. Down and ask people those questions. They can start there because a relationship is an easy way to kind of look at these patterns. Are you a mean boss to yourself, or are you a supportive and benevolent boss?
Wonderful. Yeah, those are really powerful questions. And I will often speak to clients about personifying money. But personifying mm-hmm. the business itself, that's mm-hmm. powerful because it creates a little bit of distance between you and the business. So you can have a dialogue with what the business needs and desires, what the business wants for you, how you may be interrupting your own flow and ease and abundance. Lovely.
Yeah, I think it makes it easier because we are not our business. Even if we are a business of one, we are not our business. And so many people will say to me, oh, my business is my baby. And I'm like, I don't want my business to be my baby. I want it to be a partner that's supportive, that has my back. When, you know, shit hits the fan, I can think about my business and the, you know, decision that we made on what kind of thing we're doing here together and feel supported and directed, as opposed to having to do all the things. And some of the answers that people come up with about who their business is are hysterical. I did a retreat in New York back in June with a business coach who had me come in and work with her people around this idea. And one person said, "Oh my God, my business is a tantruming toddler. This is terrible." And another person said that it was their demanding father and that they found themselves in this, you know, submissive role in the business that they were creating themselves. And so it's always very interesting to see how people relate to this process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So if an entrepreneur is starting to notice that they may be doing some self-sabotage or they've created a business that is just recreating their own trauma responses, what do you see as the first step or couple of steps to take in order to unpack that?
Well, I think clarity is key. So knowing that, first of all, identifying, do you have a trauma background? If so, does this feel familiar, but just a new arena? And if so, start to unpack a little bit, you know, how it is showing up. There's a couple of categories. Again, I mentioned I've been doing some research and I'm writing a book on this, you know, impact of trauma on entrepreneurship. And there's kind of four areas that it shows up. So these are four categories that someone can kind of question themselves to identify, okay, where is my level of trust with my business, in that my trust of myself, my trust of my clients, my trust of my employees, if I have any. And just to kind of assess where you're at, you know, maybe even say on a scale of 1 to 10, at 10 being, I just trust, and everything's good. You know, just kind of gauge where you're at. Or do you trust too much and you lose your boundaries, you know? The other area obviously is money. The difficulty of putting a price tag on what you're doing, because everybody says charge what you're worth, and I don't believe that's a really good way to put it, because I think you're priceless, and so I think it's really hard to tell people to charge what they're worth. They need to charge for their services in a way that's congruent for the mission and vision for their business. You know, that's a little bit more tangible. So where are you giving away money because you fear you just have fear, you know, it's too much, they won't like it. And you just, so gauging where you're at with your money, your boundaries with your clients, with your employees, even with your family. I can't tell you how many clients I have who are trying to run a company from the corner of their kitchen table because they're afraid to take up space. It doesn't work. It's burnout. That's just like, you know, a line for burnout. They're running companies and they don't even have a space to work in because they're trying not to inconvenience their family. So what are your boundaries? And then looking at, you know, when I think about doing something for my business, like speaking or writing content or doing a Facebook Live or whatever it may be that kind of puts a spotlight on me as a person, where do I feel in that? Do I feel safe? Do I feel unsafe? You know, where are you? So those are four areas you can kind of gauge where you are now, to see where those blind spots may be that might have some connection to those traumatic events that you had that have impacted how you see the world and how you show up.
Wonderful examples. So what happens if you have a history of trauma and you continue to ignore your own trauma patterns in your business?
Well, it ain't pretty. what happens is I've seen a couple of things happen where people will go into battle with their business and with everyone involved in it. So the next thing you know, they're fighting with their clients. They're just overstimulated. They're burnt out. Everything feels unsafe. And so they go into kind of that fight mode. They're, you know, unhappy with their employees, and so they're fighting with them. So there's kind of this fight response. So if you're just agitated and everything's annoying you and you're fighting with everybody, it might be a chance to look at this. So there's that piece of it. And then the other side of it is complete overwhelm and burnout, where it's just not possible to do the things that you need to do on a daily basis. And that often comes up with physical symptoms, like, you know, extreme pain or migraines that won't go away, self-injury by accident, just being super clumsy, and bumping into things, breaking your nose. So there's a lot of ways that it can show up, but it is not a sustainable business model. When we start a business, people give us a marketing plan, business plan, but no one really talks to us about how our experiences in life will create the fire that's needed to be an entrepreneur, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs have trauma because they're resilient. No one ever asks us those questions, like, how do you want to feel about this? What is your plan for emotional sustainability? Which is why, one of the things I have created is an emotional sustainability plan for people. No one asks you these questions. And so if you don't have all of these boxes ticked, you're going to burn out. It's going to be unbalanced, and the bottom line of your business is going to suffer.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. And I'm really curious about the emotional sustainability plan. Can you say more about that?
So it's a line of questioning, and really it has to do with this. There's a lot of pillars to it. The overall idea is that we're looking at, why do you want to start this business? What is the purpose? Because a lot of people start a business because they want to prove something, not because they really wanted a business. And so it's trying to find out, okay, so what is the purpose of you starting this business, or, whatever it may be? How do you want to feel about it? Are you trying to prove something here? Or are you just tired of being an employee for other people? So it's really kind of questioning, what is the purpose of this, so that we know how to help direct you towards your skill sets and your strengths, as well as looking out for those areas of weakness, or not really weakness, but those dark places that you can find yourself, to create a plan that helps you be safe, secure, identify your triggers. No one's asking someone to get rid of their trauma triggers. We do what we can to manage them. Some we can release. But triggers are not always bad. They teach us and show us that there's something that needs to be adjusted. So it's identifying what those triggers for that person may be in the course of their business, so that you can modify them, manage them, and learn how to partner with that inner critic, that saboteur that comes up for all of us. For people who have trauma, it can be really, really big. So also identifying what that would look like and how to manage it and partner with that part of you as opposed to fighting it. So there's a lot of pieces that go into it, but it's just the plan for you to be emotionally stable and sane and safe while you're creating this business.
Yeah, I love that. A lot of people in our common culture understand that what happens when you get married, for example, is all of your inner shit. That's for you to address and heal and clear and transform. And the same thing applies in business, because you are having a relationship with another being, with another entity. Mm-hmm. And that's going to require you to look at how you're showing up in that relationship. It's not a one-way street. The business is not simply something you can dictate terms to and continue dysfunction with. And especially the more you grow and evolve in your business, the more you need to grow and evolve as a sustainable, I love that word, a sustainable human being in relationship with your business.
And one of the interesting things, usually by the time people have gotten to me, they have a successful business, but they can't build it beyond where they are because they've done everything themselves. But at this point, they're having to leverage it, build it, trust other people. And that's where a lot of their stuff comes up, because now they have to take this thing that they, have so much pride in, they've worked so hard for, and they have to trust other people to be good stewards of it by hiring employees. And, they barely know how to delegate, much less trust people to do things. So, teaching someone to delegate first and kind of test out the trust to get to a place where you can rely on people is a really hard thing to do when someone's business is involved in it. I say that relying on someone is the behavior of trust. So you have to kind of build that out. But that's where I see it come up a lot, is this piece of trust and being able to rely on people within the business, because you can only build it so much on your own back.
Exactly. Yeah, and coupled with that also is being able and willing to receive support and not do everything yourself, especially if you were taught early on as a child that it's not safe to trust other people. You learn to do everything yourself, and then you don't know how to receive support from others.
Yeah. And that is, see, I believe there's like shadow and light in everything. And the light side of this is that the experiences that we've had when we've had these, you know, whatever, you know, traumatic event that you've overcome, you know, maybe, is that's created a high level of self-reliance, a self and resilience, an ability to tolerate uncomfortable situations. So it makes you an amazing entrepreneur, you know, and it really is, I see, an arena that a lot of people who have had those challenges really gravitate towards, because they want agency over their lives and that kind of thing. And so the brilliance of those experiences creates fertile ground for a successful entrepreneur. But kind of the shadow side of that is that it takes trust, it takes support to grow it, you know, from a certain level, and receiving that support can be so very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you're lifting up the light side of this. And you're absolutely right. You know, coming from a history of trauma does make you resilient, and also allows you to know how to navigate the unknown. Because if you're if you grow up in a situation where there is no safety, you're always in the unknown. And it's actually easier for entrepreneurs to have that kind of background to navigate being in the, because 95% of the time we're in the unknown in our business, right? Like we make a decision, we set a goal, we take the first step, but we don't know what's going to happen between the first step and reaching the goal. It's a lot of unknowing to navigate.
It certainly is.
So, Nicole, you lifted up a little bit ago that you have had the experience of a lot of people not wanting to use that word trauma, and you just want to call a spade, and I'm right there with you. I just, coming from a history of being a trauma chaplain, you know, it is a thing that happens in our world, and I think downplaying it or trying to repackage it doesn't necessarily serve anyone. As you've been doing this research for your book and coaching clients around trauma, are there any other approaches to trauma that you advocate for or that you're doing that you're not seeing happen in the mainstream?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, people are not calling it what it is. So I think there's a lot of education that needs to take place about what trauma is and what trauma is not. So I don't see a lot of that happening because we default as trauma being these big catastrophic events that are, you know, like you got in a horrific car accident or domestic violence, or you were, you know, assaulted on the street, or, you know, like they're usually, we default to them being these bigger kind of instantaneous life-changing events when that is not all of people's trauma experiences. We also forget that people who are, you know, minorities, you know, indigenous people of color, you know, they have a systemic trauma that affects every waking moment for them. So I think we've distilled trauma down into like a bomb shed, like a, you know, a blow up type moment, when it's actually way more complicated than that. So education is important. The other thing I'm not seeing is that there are a lot of people in the coaching industry that are trying to touch and work within the trauma atmosphere and are, I think, doing some more harm than good a lot of the time. And so I think that people need to feel okay with saying, yep, I have a complicated past. I think I might have some trauma. I really need to work with someone who this is a specialty of theirs, as opposed to someone who's trying to do all the things, you know, because this really does require some special skills, and you deserve it. You deserve to have someone that can hold space for you with that. And the other thing that I really feel is very helpful and I would like to see more of is the mind-body pieces. Like I use EFT tapping, in my coaching, and seeing people help, people get into their bodies so they can manage triggers in ways that are more than white knuckling. I see so many people falling for this mindset thing where they say, you need to just change your mindset. Yes, we need to change our mindset. But if you've had trauma, it's not quite that simple sometimes. It's not just the flip of a switch. It's an actual practice. Mindset is a practice. And I see a lot of my clients who come to me is because a coach has turned them away because they weren't getting fixed fast enough. And they were just saying, just change your mindset. And they're like, I'm really trying. I'm really trying. Wow. And so that was one of the things that initially really got my attention. There was a lot of people who I was talking to had been wounded again by a coach or a healer or someone who didn't either have the right skill set or held the client responsible for not being able to shift their mindset quickly enough. And particularly in the entrepreneurial world, what I see a lot is that people will struggle with things that look like business solutions, like time management or procrastination or, those type of things. And so people are giving them business solutions when they're actually emotional problems. They're procrastinating for a trauma trigger. It's like it's something else and they're getting these solutions that are not working for them because they're not identifying what the true source is of the concern in their business. So there's a lot around that, but yeah.
Right. So let's talk about that. And you've listed up so many good points, and thank you for that. Often what I'll say to people is success in business is 10% execution and logistics, and it's 10% strategy, and it's 90% managing you, your beliefs, your emotions, how you're showing up in your business. Nicole, where do you land in that spectrum with your teaching around doing the deeper work?
I think that it is a very high percentage, in that execution of a skill or a strategy is not really rocket science. I mean, there's not a lot of hidden secrets out here about, how to get clients and how to have a sales conversation and, how to create things that sell. But the ability to be able to manage that and the belief in it is where, I see people struggle most. So I agree that a very large percentage of that is knowing yourself. And you can't start a business without taking a high dive into personal development, whether you like it or not. So you can look at it as this is an opportunity for me to know myself better, to learn skills for stress management, trigger management, people skills, emotional intelligence, all those things. Your business is an amazing place to heal those wounds maybe that are still kind of hanging out there. And that's like that 80-90% is all about that because it prepares you for the success that comes. It prepares you for the money that hits your bank account. It prepares you for the visibility that you get with a successful business. All of that is so important because if you get it without that work, you're not going to be able to hang on to it and you're going to give it away.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And do you find that there are different issues or things to be addressed depending on the growth level of your business, like different patterns for folks newer in business, getting to $500,000 or $1 million, above $1 million in sales, any patterns you see with financial growth?
Yeah, so there's kind of like the categories. Initially, it's the mindset around what it means to have a business, or to be an entrepreneur. Because a lot of us, didn't grow up with an entrepreneurial family, so you have to go through all that mindset stuff at the beginning about what does it mean to do this. So that's where I see it coming up early on with people is just the identity of the business and the entrepreneur and what it means to make money doing your own thing, because it kind of others you from your family and your friends. So I see that mindset stuff come up a lot early on. But when it comes to the higher level, because I've worked with people at all levels, and you've probably seen this too. I have people who have millions and millions and millions of dollars in their account who feel just as poverty stricken as someone who has nothing. You know, so that money mindset stuff is really important when it comes to feeling safe and that you have enough. So I still see that at those higher levels where they're driving themselves to a point of exhaustion and their employees to a point of just wanting to quit because they never feel like they have enough. They never have enough safety. They keep moving the goalposts. And so I see that a lot at that higher level of just never really feeling safe or satisfied with the success that they have. And the other piece when people are hitting around that seven figures is they begin to get uncomfortable because the people around them make a lot of assumptions about their money and their what they can do at that point. So they start to struggle with relationships like friends, peers maybe that are not gotten as far as they have, and they start to feel isolated and they lose their people, which is a really terrible place to be. And they feel very alone and unsafe at that point because they're struggling with this new role and this kind of new identity as a you know, seven plus figure business owner. So, it's different at all the different levels, but it all comes down to visibility, being seen, wanting to belong, wanting to feel safe.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you for those examples. These are really poignant. And I know for folks listening to this episode, there was a huge energy hit when you started talking about not feeling safe and continuing to move the goalposts, like never having enough. What do you want to say specifically to someone listening to this episode saying, holy cow, that's me, and I don't know how to get out of that pattern?
Take a breath. Ask yourself what enough would feel like or look like to see if you can even get a little bit of detail around it. And if you can't, then that's really good information because you will continue to strive but never arrive. And that's no way to live. So we need to find a goalpost for you that feels real and that feels tangible and that you can at least recognize. You may not feel safe there. It may still not feel like it's enough, but at least you'll recognize it as a goal and be able to take a breath and celebrate that moment. So I think having, you know, questioning yourself about that is important to say, well, what would be enough? And what is it that I really need here?
Excellent. Nicole, is there anything else that you'd like to share with listeners?
Just that, you know, don't be afraid. And I'm sure your listeners are not afraid of the trauma word, but, you know, don't be afraid of the word. You know, it's just a definition. The hardest part's over. And so looking at, you know, how our experiences show up for our life now, it's really just about understanding the patterns that we have in our business that might have some connection to our past. And the more we can shine a light on that, the easier it is to shift it. It's all about pattern disruption without judgment. So don't judge yourself for having these challenges or recognizing these patterns now and saying to yourself, oh my God, I can't believe that this is showing up in my business. What the hell? You know, just try not to go down the judgment trail. You know, just know that you're in really, really good company. Trust me, you are in good company. And it just takes a moment of being curious without judgment and taking a breath and loving yourself through this process. So you're okay.
Yeah, that's fabulous advice. Nicole, how can folks learn more about you and the work that you do?
So I'm a couple of different places. They can go to my website, which is Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E dot Lewis, L-E-W-S dash Keeber, K-E-E-B-E-R dot com. And if they're curious about what their relationship with their business is, there is a self-assessment there that they can download and work through. It's like a workbook. I'm on Facebook at Nicole Lewis Keeber Coaching, and you can also follow me on Instagram. I think it's Nicole.LewisKeeber. That's kind of a personal account, but I post both, you know, personal and businessy type of things there. Oh, and I'm also on Medium. I write a lot of the articles that I write around trauma and entrepreneurship are on Medium, so you can follow me there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I don't get to have these kind of conversations very often.
Are you a conscious entrepreneur who has hit a financial ceiling in your business? Do you find yourself up in the middle of the night wondering where your next sale is going to come from? Do you struggle with working harder and harder yet not getting better results? Do you have a deep desire to take your business to the next level, but you aren't sure how to get there? If so, let's talk. I offer 30-minute complimentary consultations specifically designed to help diagnose what's keeping you from growing your business. To schedule your consultation, go to emmachurchman.com/consult Emma.